Have you been exploring your spirituality and learning more about yourself? And now you're ready to take bold, positive action. Are you seeking clarity about what is really blocking you from your greatest potential? Do you feel like you're so close to a breakthrough, but you can't figure out why you continue to feel stuck at the same level? Join us now for Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer, two transformational coaches who are eager to share all they've learned over the many years they've each been working with clients, helping them create the life they want. Joyce and Jennifer both have extensive, diverse backgrounds in the art of conscious transformation, and they are here to help you. So tune in now for the insight and tools you need to consciously live, work, and play, so that you can live the life you most deeply long to experience.
Hi, it's Joyce here. Welcome to Real Talk with Joyce and Jennifer. I'm a transformational coach, life purpose facilitator, and retreat leader who guides women to find clarity and purpose in times of transition, change, and transformation to live their most authentic and courageous life.
Hey everyone, it's Jennifer, and I'm also a transformational coach, facilitator, and consultant, which basically means I transform the mentality of leaders so that their entire staff and corporate culture can shift toward higher purpose. But most importantly, as I always mention, I'm a mom.
So welcome again, and before we get started with our program, which is Daring to Be Yourself, guaranteed to be a really good talk today, we want to honor all the women in the world for the courage it's taken to be bold and to stand up for what you believe in.
Yes, and I'd like to particularly honor those women who are brave enough to speak out about sexual abuse after holding it in for so many years. That is a painful situation to wrestle with inside oneself, and it takes tremendous courage to speak up and speak out. Sexual harassment, as we know, has been a hot topic in the media lately with that Alabama Senate race, and it looks like the days of sweeping this issue under the rug are gone, thankfully, and thanks to the courage of women today.
Absolutely. I think it's time, don't you, Jennifer? Time to get the truth out.
Well overdue.
Absolutely. Well overdue. So one of the other, there's another woman we want to honor today, a different scenario, but just as powerful. And we want to honor Lynn McTaggart. So some of the listeners may know Lynn. She's certainly been around for a while. She's an author, a researcher, and speaker. And she's an expert on intention and the energy field. And I really kind of followed her for years off and on, and I actually went to England one time to see her present early on when energy, we were really just starting with energy medicine information. And so, but last week, something really exciting happened with Lynn, and she invited me on the teleconference to experience this. So last week, Lynn boldly created the Middle Eastern Peace Intention Experiment, which was seen on video feed around the world. And what a historic event it was. There were 9 screens where people from all over the Middle East, Arabs, Israelis, for the first time, including several cities in like Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Abu Dhabi, Oman, and Tunisia, plus the audience of Jews in Israel and Israel's. And at this time, what they were doing was beaming to all the other participants from all over the world watching this on her YouTube channel. So all of us came together to send an intention for peace to the old city of Jerusalem, which has 4 sections, which I didn't know until I read this, 4 sections, which are Christian, Jew, Muslim, and Armenian. And it's a symbolic gesture of peace where they met, because it's really a place that truly belongs to the entire world. So many of the participants cried during this event, but the most astounding part of all was what happened afterwards. You know, through the brilliance of this technological team, which you just can't imagine, there are all these different video screens that are going on, and then Lynn is in England, and she's monitoring all this. And then there's somebody in the Middle East who's also, I think he was in Saudi Arabia, who's part of this team. So it was like a huge effort to get this going. And so this team was doing this. Each group, as I said, was from a different country, and they were able to speak to Lynn and to the people in the other eight windows. So it was incredibly interesting, and I've never seen anything quite like it.
No kidding. And, you know, this is the type of innovation we all love. I mean, you know, wow, what a magnificent vehicle for peace. When all we still see in the news is doom and gloom and active and impending mm-hmm. war, it's just, you know, all of it's just so despair-inducing. And then there's this tremendous amount of power in what we use our technology to amplify throughout the world. So, you know, if it's on TV, radio, online video, it doesn't matter what medium we're using. Every time we send out a message through a vehicle like that, we amplify and magnify that message, whatever it is, which only makes it expand and grow. So this is a huge victory for all of us, thanks mm-hmm. to Lynn. And she used a massive medium to push out a message of love, peace, hope, healing. You know, let's magnify that. It's nothing short of mm-hmm. thrilling. This is real. People want peace. They want harmony. We all, every walk of life, wants to love and honor one another. It is our birthright, and it's our deepest desire. We simply must look at this and grow our future from this space.
Absolutely. So this was more than just an historic first, as many Arabs and Israelites have never seen images of each other before. Can you imagine that? Now, they've never seen images of each other before, let alone have an opportunity to communicate with each other. Their only knowledge of the other was what the politicians and the press have fed them and us about what's going on in the Middle East. So Arabs from Saudi Arabia sent love to the Jews in the audience in Jerusalem. And Israeli women sent love back and said it was high time that the women from all countries get together. And they said, "Your God is my God," said an Arab from Abu Dhabi. People on both sides were crying and laughing as they recognized the common humanity in each other. I mean, this was truly a historic unfolding before our eyes. They prove one simple truism: to solve a seemingly intractable political situation, you don't need politicians, you don't need violence or guns. All you need is people coming together in a group and seeing that they are not separate, and using meditation, prayer, being in the circle to shift their thinking. And all I can say is, wow, thanks, Lynn, for this life-shifting event and the courage it must have taken. And to, I don't know how long she'd been working on this to get this going as a woman from England, to get this going with someone who had the vision to be able to see this in Saudi Arabia. I mean, it's incredible.
It is so incredible. This is the stuff that literally makes me cry. I just get these huge waves of intense energy of hope and humility and joy that I just can't contain. So, Joyce, thank you so much for sharing this with our audience. And I know I should know this, but it may already be. Did you share the YouTube video on our Facebook page? Because I'd love to figure out a way to get our listeners easy access to that footage.
I will. I'm not sure if it's up anymore. It was on her live. I'll see if I can do that. I've been trying to find it since then. I'll try to find it.
That would be awesome, because I'd love to circulate this as much as mm-hmm. we can. So thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. So let's move into our topic for today, daring to be yourself. And so here are a few questions just to get us started thinking about this subject. What does it really take to live from your authentic self? What does it take to dare to be who you are? You know, there's nothing more attractive and inviting than someone who's confident in who they are and what they believe in. There's an elegance and an ease about them. Better yet, When you can live that way, you can share your enthusiasm with others in life, and you become a lot more fulfilling, and you certainly help your audience. But contrary to that is someone who doesn't know him or herself well, someone who depends on other people's opinions or validity or self-worth and to find their identity. These types of people are unsure of their values and purpose, and we know it when we see them. If you have no idea of who you are, it can be confusing and painful with lots of your own judgment, denial, hiding out, defending of yourself because you feel you have to. I wonder if anybody in the audience can identify with these situations. So I certainly can.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yes. And it's so timely too, because just this morning I was a guest on a radio show to talk about the power of the feminine role in the workplace. And I shared with that audience that studies across the board show that men and women are equal in their competence, but very different in their confidence. And according to the data, you know, men tend to be overconfident and women tend to be underconfident with about a 60% variance. You know, this causes that crucial female voice not to be heard in the decision-making process, and that's a big problem. Mm. So as a consultant, I'm a huge proponent of the adage, know yourself, honor yourself. It's a fundamental principle for success and prosperity, not to mention happiness and health. But if someone lacks confidence, it is very likely that they are going to mimic someone else instead of honoring their own unique perspective and personality. So if this resonates with you, listeners, please pay extra attention to today's message because it's really so foundational and important. And so when we come back from our break, we're going to dig deeper into this, and Joyce is going to share with us a lot of tools and insight. So we'll be back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. So, you know, we're going to pick up from where we were. So some of the biggest problems arise when you look outside of yourself for gratification, praise, and identity. You know, everyone wants to feel good about themselves and have deep, meaningful relationships and a purposeful life. However, if you don't really know yourself, it's impossible for others to know you or for you to know your true self. You just can't. It's impossible. So I can totally relate to both of these scenarios. So I'll share just a little bit about how I know this. So for most of my early life, I would say from pretty much the time I was born, I was a very shy, quiet young woman who did not speak up and sat in the back of the room in school and everywhere else that I went. I was literally terrified of being seen and having to open up and speak about myself. It was painful. And so this was very distressing for me, of course, when I got accepted to nursing school. And at, when you're in nursing school, you're constantly being required to speak up, to stand up, and present. So each time I did that for 2 years was agonizing, but at least it forced me to get up and start speaking and opening up a little bit. I had no idea who in the hell I was. I was like a chameleon. I could change and adapt to whatever situation I found myself in. You know, I was certainly a quick adapter, which was due to my survival skills that served me well to deal with the chaos and trauma of living in a home with an alcoholic father who was murdered when I was seven and a mother who was depressed. So I lived, even after he passed over, my father, I lived in deep shame of the situation for years that led me to really unhealthy relationships, abusing alcohol, and divorce. And it took me many years later to really come to grips with that this wasn't my story. This didn't happen to me, but I was taking it on as a child. So Brené Brown says, who's the author, most people know the author of multiple books, but of Rising Strong, the book, she says, when we deny our stories, they define us. When we own our stories, we get to write a brave new ending. And that is absolutely correct. So for me, finally, after years of sadness and depression and just self-denial of who I was, I decided to change my life and own my story. And it took a lot for me to open up and tell what I'm just saying right here about what happened to me. And it's more common for people's parents and children and brothers and sisters to be murdered at this point. But when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s, it was not common for anybody to be shot. It was very awful. So it took, really, like I said, courage and faith and deep soul work to believe in myself and to choose to live the life that God had given me and the life I really wanted to live, a life with purpose and meaning. You know, I had to make up my mind. I decided I have to be willing to let go of the woman that I am so that I can be the woman that I'm becoming to make those changes.
Yeah. Well, that's powerful, powerful stuff, Joyce, and thank you for sharing that part of your story. Mm-hmm. I know as a child myself, and even in my early adulthood, I too was a chameleon of sorts, and in retrospect, I actually felt more like a doormat, but that was just because I didn't know who I was, and in fact, I defined my happiness by others' happiness. I was incredibly indecisive because I had no idea what I wanted on any given day. If someone asked me what I wanted, I froze. I simply wanted everyone, you know, what everyone else wanted. What do you want? That's what I want. You know, or put another way, I wanted everyone else to be happy. You know, what makes you happy? Therefore, I'll be happy if I know you're happy. And so I kind of just lost myself. And so I became accommodating to the point of literally completely losing my identity, if I even had one to begin with. And like you, you know, that cost me dearly in my later years because it was the root cause of my divorce. And we all now know from stories I've told in previous shows that the series of traumas that first domino caused. And so, you know, when I'm working with clients at this level, one of the many tools in my methodology toolbox is it's called the pendulum factor. And it basically just shows us in a graphic that we tend to show up as either passive, like the accommodator I was, or aggressive, like the rebel that I became in my early 20s after being taken advantage of at deep levels for long periods of time. You know, for me, it took one last really bad boyfriend to send me over that edge. But again, like you said, Joyce, all of this had come from the root cause of not knowing myself and therefore not honoring myself or embracing who I actually am. So, you know, as you said, when this is the case, we automatically look for happiness and validation in others. And that's like quicksand. It'll take us down because we have no power in that.
Absolutely, we don't. So the major key to self-love and joy is to know yourself at your deepest level of being and to remember your true spiritual multidimensional nature. You are divine, your energy. We all are. And we don't even realize that probably until much later in our life. So this leads to a certain, you know, when you have self-confidence, this leads to a certain steadiness in life, unlike being dependent on outside influences. You're guided by your inner truth. This gives you strength for all that life has to offer. You're able to be present, live with passion, and more fully experience the whole spectrum of emotions, from great joy to great sorrow, and still remain in peace. You still know who you are inside, but you don't have to relate to every emotion that comes by. So I'm wondering, is our audience, are you ready to be who you really are?
Yeah, it's a loaded question, isn't it? And you keep bringing up these points that make me think of what's happened in my recent past, because it's just such a timely topic. This past weekend, my 13-year-old daughter had the lead in her middle school musical. She, for those of you that are familiar with musicals, she played Tracy Turnblad in Hairspray. And for those of you that aren't familiar with this musical, Tracy was an overweight dreamer who went to an integrated high school in 1962. She's in love with a good-looking popular guy who's the star of a dance show on TV. Tracy gets her big break, lands a part in the show, and then initiates a huge controversy by demanding that the show become integrated, because it wasn't. The school was, but it wasn't. And she's a precious character and was an ethical trailblazer in her teens. So we as a family had 4 shows in 3 days last week, and at the end of Friday night, as my daughter was going to bed, she says to me, "Mom, I want to be Tracy. I love her, and I'm sad that I only have 2 more chances to play her." It was such a precious moment, but it was also an opportunity to help her as her mother at this critical stage of development to understand her own unique greatness. And it reminded me how many and how much a lot of people out there, particularly teens and young adults, who really are not simply seeking role models, they're wishing themselves to be other people, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's this distinction there that's important to catch. Yes, we all want good role models. We want to be inspired and motivated toward behaviors and values that we hold dear. But we want to learn how to channel our behavior and values in our own unique way, which will come more naturally the more we simply do what feels most natural. And when someone like my daughter resonates so strongly with someone like Tracy Turnblad, she can recognize why. Instead of wanting to be her, she can just recognize why, and then make decisions to grow those parts within herself that she loves so much about that character. She doesn't have to see it in another. She can feel it within herself. We all can. And I just wanted to make that distinction because I just had that experience.
Well, it's just so true, because you see so many people, even adult women, who make themselves look like a movie star, either from surgery or just looking, they dress like them and they want to be them. And you wonder, well, you can't be them because they're already who they are. And why would you want to? Like you said, you take, if you admire someone, you take the qualities that have made them successful and look at those and research those and see who they are. And they may be qualities that you can use, but you never want to be looking like someone else, or I wouldn't think you would. And you want to be who you are, because who you are is so unique. You're the only one. And, and I think people don't understand that we're each absolutely the right human being, the right person for who we are on the earth. We shouldn't be somebody else. Mm-hmm. So,
amen to that.
So, I tell you. So here I'm going to talk about some ways to really honor yourself and embrace the power of being you. So as you start to adopt them in your life, these practices, notice how your view of yourself and the world kind of comes together more meaningfully and more mystically. I remember as I moved through this terrible feeling of getting up and saying who I was and talking and having to express myself, I started to feel really good, though. Even after a few times, I'm like, oh, God, it's really bad, but I think I'm getting this. I think I can do this. So sometimes the very thing that you don't want is the most powerful thing, you know, for you. So here is one of the first things that have been really helpful to me and to other clients that I've worked with. These are about five of the things I think that are helpful. So number one is to deepen your spiritual practice. This is critical. It's like right at the top before you can be, you can't really change anything when you don't really have any practices or believe in something. So a spiritual practice means taking time to look inward and experience your true nature. So examples of a spiritual practice, you know, are meditation, their prayer, their yoga, their being in nature, they're doing something that you love, cooking, gardening, they're engaging in an art project, working on your creativity, they're sitting in silence, or even immersing yourself in sound. It can be anything that inspires you to be and to observe love, self-love yourself, and to feel, to actually let yourself feel your emotions, and they be okay, whatever it is that comes up, it's to feel. So the second one is be willing to dig deep into your beliefs and self-sabotaging behavior and emotions. This is so critical, and it's critical all through your life, not just when you're beginning to find yourself. So become aware of these recurrent thoughts about what you often think. Note how often you rehash a conversation that took place weeks or even years ago, or how often you imagine negative, fearful outcomes. And I think most people, a lot of people, rehash things over and over and over. Don't you think so, Jennifer?
Oh my gosh, yes, to a point of obsession. And then and then it becomes a completely different situation.
It does.
You know, once you start thinking Absolutely. About it and analyzing it, then all of a sudden you see it differently, and not for the better, by the way.
Right. So your emotions are, think of it as the bridge between who you think you are and who you really are. And many people go to great lengths to avoid their feelings by using drugs, food, other distractions, shopping all the time, anything that keeps you from going inside, from feeling, so that you can deal with those emotions so that you can release them. So, and we know this only leads to further away from yourself. The more you do these behaviors, thinking you're helping yourself, in reality, only leads you further away from yourself. So the next one is identify areas in your life where you feel out of balance. So imbalance becomes obvious when certain, we're going to be right back and we'll finish that up.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Depleted by the rat race? Depressed by the attitudes of the human race? The book Honor explains why and how to transform your life from confusion and heartache to one that you most authentically desire. Join Om Times Radio host Jennifer McKenna Weinbaum as she takes you on her journey from her darkest period to her happiest and healthiest life. Entertaining, enlightening, Honor will help you find and maintain the love and light in your own life. Visit www.universalabundance.com to pre-order your copy.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new. hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Listen, my life changed because someone was there to get me to use drugs. No one can understand. People think that having someone who will listen makes it better. I need help.
I'm listening.
I need help. I think that having someone who will listen makes it better. People understand. No one can get me to use drugs. My life changed because someone was there to listen.
Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to turn addiction around. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We were talking about the five ways to honor yourself and embrace your own power of being you. So the next one, the third one that I work with is identify areas in your life where you feel out of balance. So imbalance becomes obvious when certain parts of ourself become screaming for attention. If we get sick, we may have been neglecting our bodies, our needs of our body. We don't take care of ourselves. We're not sleeping. We're not eating well. So take note of the imbalance, then let go of the distractions that keep you from nourishing whatever you know you've been neglecting. And we know that many people neglect a lot, particularly if you're not into self-love and taking care of yourself. You're really sometimes not even noticing when things are out of balance, when your body's hurting, when you're tired all the time. Just, you know, that's about self-care is what that is. So replace the negative self-talk with positive, affirmative thoughts. If you're like most people, you speak to yourself in a way you would never talk to somebody else. This keeps the reality of who you think you are in place and precludes your addressing the reality of who you really are. And I've heard people speak disrespectfully about themselves all the time, sometimes in jokingly, but you wonder if it really is. So gather some affirmations and write them down. Whenever you realize that you're being unkind to yourself, reward yourself for noticing with one of the affirmations. Replace it with an affirmation. An effective remedy is to use an opposite statement. For example, if you catch yourself saying, I'm stupid, why did I do this? Replace it with, I'm actually brilliant. Feel the difference in your body, mind, and spirit when you do that. Accept your true identity and personal excellence. Be your best friend. You have to be your best friend. Catch yourself in this thought and immediately disrupt it and deny it. Say out loud, I don't believe in this anymore. Take control to redirect your chronic thoughts. This is really extremely powerful, which I work with almost everybody I see on this. So the next one is know and live your values and purpose. Take the time to determine clearly what you believe to be your most important value. What must be present in your life for you to feel good? Like, write down 3 to 5 of these things, of the intentions, and why they are important in your life. Then start to observe your thoughts. Take note of how you make decisions and take action that is congruent with your values. Make your values your guide to action. Is your values and your purpose in line with your behavior and how you're living in the world? Often it's not. That tends to cause also a lot of lack of self-love. And the last one is use your unique gifts and talents to help others. We're all one, and at the same time, each individual is unique and has a specific place in the universe. You've been given talents and skills that are unique to your journey, but you must relate to others to survive and thrive. When you heal your own misunderstandings about the truth of your existence, everyone benefits. And when you help others, you help all. Choose peace, compassion, gratitude, and love. Belonging with yourself, beginning with yourself, and then sharing it with others. This is a statement that Deepak Chopra says that I love. every time you are tempted to react in the same old way, ask if you want to be a prisoner of the past or a pioneer of the future. Hopefully, a pioneer is what you want to be.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is an excellent list of tools, Joyce, things to do, things that people can actually do to get more acquainted with themselves, right? You're so great at always giving mm-hmm. our listeners these practical ways, things to take away and start practicing, and it's so fabulous. And I just want to say to the listeners, you know, just remember that this is a process. We stress that a lot, but I can never stress it mm-hmm. enough. You know, there's no overnight sensation. It's not like you go from one state of mind to an entirely new way of looking at life overnight. You will look at it enthusiastically in the beginning, and then you'll realize all the obstacles in your head that you have yet to overcome. but these are mm-hmm. always great tools to start practicing to move through that process and to evolve in the direction and in the way that you really want. And so a lot of these things that you said reminds me also when I was in my 20s and I was a young nonprofit trailblazer. I was single, carefree. I worked hard. I played hard. And I loved driving my Miata with the top down. and so one day I was, you know, I had my long curly hair and I was wearing this best dress on, and I pulled into the mall parking lot with my music probably too loud since my top was down, but I was just kind of carefree and in my own world. And I was stopping by the mall to pick up a gift on my way to a baby shower. I just remember it so vividly, even though it was probably 20, 25 years ago. And as I pulled in, this lady who was probably my current age at the time, she said, "I want to be you in my next life," as she helped four kids into her minivan. And at the time, I laughed it off. I thought it was the cutest thing that she said, but I really didn't understand it. I didn't get it at all. But it got locked into my memory bank for a reason. And I, you know, still clearly remember it so vividly. But you fast forward through all those years, and today I totally get it. You know, now that I'm a mom and I've had many years under my belt of schlepping kids all over town, in and out of strollers, car seats, high chairs over the years, you know, never going anywhere without it being a major obstacle course, freedom, right? And that's, but I didn't know that at the time. And so, remembering that moment in my Miata when she said that to me, it gave me the ability to laugh at my own frustrations when I reached those stages of motherhood that she was in. And I empathized in retrospect with her. And it caused me, you know, probably the greatest gift that that moment gave me was it caused me to pause and be more mindful during those times with my kids that I don't want to wish this away. Is it hard? Yeah. Is it frustrating? Yeah. Are there other moments of motherhood that I cherish more? Yes. But, you know, it flies by so quickly. So, you know, the takeaway message for that to the listeners is cherish yourself. Cherish the stage of life you are in right now. Embrace where you are right now, who you are right now, and let that be the beginning of a new journey with self-love. And, you know, another thing, you had such a great list of those five things, Joyce, and I'd love to add one more to it. Because in the workplace, mm-hmm. we use innumerable tools and assessments that can help us understand ourselves more. And so examples of these, you know, some of our listeners, I'm sure, have heard of them. It's the Myers-Briggs, the Berkman, the DISC assessment. There's just dozens of them. And I just encourage everyone, take one. Take an assessment like that. Learn more about who you actually are, how you make your decisions, where you get your energy, how you like your environment, how you take in information. You know, these assessments measure all of these things. And, you know, so instead of rolling your eyes at such things, roll up your sleeves and dig in. Allow the truth of what resonates with you to sink in at a conscious level when you receive the results of these assessments. And if it tells you something that you don't really like about yourself, just discard it. Set it aside for now and focus on what you do like about yourself first. Because remember, what we focus on expands. And our goal here is to help you really dare to be yourself, love who you are, put yourself out there, embrace your unique self. And so look at what you really do like first. But just recognize this. As you go forward on this journey and your self-awareness increases, you will revisit the information that you set aside today that you don't like so much. You're going to revisit it with new eyes, and you're going to see where and how these parts of yourself are playing out. The assessments don't lie. And, you know, my hope for you is that the parts that you don't like, you actually learn how valuable they are. And you start to see them through a different lens of empowerment, recognizing that there might be a memory of something it's attached to, but that it is just as unique and awesome and amazing and what makes you you. So, you know, the message today is unpeel your layers, unpeel the layers of yourself. Look at yourself through these new eyes.
Jennifer, that is so true. Years ago, I did the Myers-Briggs, and it was so powerful to really, it's like this test really knows who I am. And I had just never put those traits together in a place, but they really are powerful to do some of the testing to see, you know, who should you be working with? How do you like to work? Do you like to be by yourself in groups? How do you make decisions? I mean, they're extremely powerful. So I think also people, particularly if you're working with groups of people or teaching or anything, that doing one at least would be very helpful. So I have one other recommendation. I highly recommend that everybody listen to one of the best speeches. We'll be right back, and I'll tell you who that is.
Best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. So I was giving you another recommendation. I love recommendations. Thanks for people to listen to. So this is actually one of the best speeches I think I've heard in a long time about possibilities of people making change. But I saw it. It was from Lisa Nichols, who most people may know. She's really a motivational speaker. And she teaches all over the world now. She's very well known. And so she tells her story. And if you just, you know, do her on iTunes, or you can find her pretty much anywhere. Just Google her, or you can find anywhere she speaks. She tells her story, and that's the one you want to listen to. Because anybody who thinks you can't make change, It's unbelievable. So Lisa was living, had just used all of her money from her government assistance, and was living in a small apartment with her son. And that's the story of how she changed from working two jobs, jobs she did not like, but only to know. And she would go to motivational speakers, people that she wanted to be like. Are there qualities she wanted to see, not be like them, but she wanted the quality. She wanted to be successful. She wanted to speak. She wanted to make money. And she had no skills in anything. She said she went to see this particular program 42 times. That's what it took her to be able to eventually, she became a speaker in that program, which she probably should. But anyway, it's a powerful program. It's really powerful. Watch it. And Lisa can teach you a lot, I tell you, about going from the bottom of the barrel when you have nothing to the top. So.
Awesome. Well, and, you know, what I love about that is she actually was looking at what she wanted to emulate. She was looking at what resonated inside of her mm-hmm. and pushed through whatever she needed to push through inside of herself to then allow that part of herself to emerge more fully. And I think that's really key. We often don't allow parts of ourselves to emerge for reasons that we may or may not be fully aware of. We're giving power to the pain or memory or conditioning. And so, you know, just for a second, I would like to touch back on because I see this so much with clients, is that part where we don't like something about ourselves. And so we're inhibited. And I just encourage everyone to ask yourself why. If you bump up against that part of yourself, why? Where does it come from? Think a little bit more about that. You know, for example, if you were raised in a family or a culture that believes being quiet is valuable, you know, back in the day when they had the old mm-hmm. saying, a quiet child is mm-hmm. the perfect child or whatever. But, you know, so if you were raised in that kind of a culture where that was kind of an adage that everyone embraced, and you believe being quiet is valuable or it's righteous or it's honorable, and then you get an assessment or your friends tell you, you know, you're such an extrovert, you might take offense to that part of yourself, right? And then what I want you to be aware of is expect some inner conflict as you learn more mm-hmm. about yourself. But don't shy away from those parts that you don't like. Look at them. Look at them when you're ready, right? But recognize you were raised in an environment that challenged it in order to push you through those walls, not to keep you back behind them. Mm-hmm. And so your goal is to look at the parts and say, okay, why don't I like this? What conditioning, what belief do I have attached to this that I need to push through and transform? I need to believe something else about myself. And so the fundamental belief is I believe I am lovable. I believe I am powerful. I'm wonderful. You know, again, this is about self-love. And it's a process. Follow Joyce's list and you're going to get there. And remember the words of the great Irish poet Oscar Wilde. Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken.
I love that.
I know, right? Joyce, will you just run down the list one more time, and then
sure,
I've got another
okay.
thing to wrap up with. Yes, thank you.
Sure, absolutely. So first, deepen your spiritual practice, whatever that is for you. Secondly, dig deep into your self-sabotaging belief system. Start by looking at your recurring thoughts. Third, get your life back in balance. Nurture yourself. Eliminate negative self-talk. Fourth, know and live your values and purpose. And fifth, use your unique gifts and talents to help others. This will take the focus off of you, but will activate your higher self. Absolutely.
Yes. And that, once you activate your highest self, you are you're going to start to see yourself as the rock star that you are. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're in the last part of the show, and so we're going to start wrapping up, of course. But I want to remind us all, too, of another powerful excerpt from Marianne Williamson's book. It was, you know, what propelled her into the public eye. It was called A Return to Love. If you haven't read it, it's an old classic. You should pick it up and read it, or I highly recommend that you do. I like to take the word should out of my vocabulary. And the big quote from that, I think, you know, a lot of us have heard it, but I want to put it out there. We need to hear it again. She says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, mm-hmm. not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I absolutely love that excerpt. And I think it's so true. And
it is.
You know, we love to see other people shine. We love to encourage other people and help other people, but we have got to shine our most authentic selves too. And so, again, if you haven't read that book, it's a highly recommended one.
It is. And certainly, Marianne is somebody to follow for women, to both women and men, but particularly for women. Marianne has been out here for a long time with her teachings. She's a very powerful woman, and I just love her teaching. So just wanted to remind everybody that I'm doing, if you're in Atlanta, that I'm doing a four-week loss and grief during the holidays to manage coping with loss and grief during the holidays. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can go to AtlantaLossAndGriefCenter.com and get the information, or you can go on our Facebook. And remember, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and let us know. We want to know what you think about this, what questions you like, what else would you like discussed, what topics, because we're getting ready for a new series of topics. So visit us on JoyceAndJennifer.com, JoyceDillon.com, or JMacConsulting.com.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. We are currently looking at our next topics, and we've got several on the list, but if you'd like to hear more about a particular one, let us know. We're choosing our topics based on what we've worked with clients over the years, what has resonated the most, but we like to be very timely with where you are. So do you want to learn more about how to let go? Do you want to learn more about, you know, how to power up your brain more, you know, to you know, help you live your highest self? What is it that you really want to hear about? Do you want to just to start talking about the complexities of relationships? There's so much ground that Joyce and I can cover, and we just really want it to be what's most important to you. So, Joyce, what have you, what's been the hot topics with your clients lately that you feel like we might throw out there as an option?
Well, always is one of my favorites is extreme self-care. It's people who always need information and ways to take care of yourself. I don't care who you are. It always seems we're just not taking enough. We're just not spending the time with our own self, our own bodies, and our minds that would really benefit us. And so, and that includes me. I'm always like, I got to do this. You know, I got to take a day. This is my day. This is the gift I give to myself. So I would say anything, and even maybe something around the holidays, just some information around how to work with your emotions around the holidays, because it brings up, even if you're not had a loss or grieving anything, it doesn't matter because those emotions come up because you see, you know, you're going to your family's house or people from the past are coming back into your life and all these memories start coming up again. So that's always a subject. And I think
those are great ones.
One of the yeah, so those are a couple of ideas. So between Jennifer and I, we've talked just about, we have talked or taught about just pretty much anything
I can think of
in the world. So
yes, absolutely. And I can't tell you how many, when you brought up that self-care, I thought, oh, ding, 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 that's a big one. I can't even begin to describe how often I have to help clients with that. You know, I go in and I often forget that that's an important, you know, I'm looking at the intricacies of their brain and what's going on and what's driving this behavior. And I'm getting into all these complex things because that's the view I'm looking at because of my expertise. But I think, oh my gosh, what they really need to hear is, please go get a massage. Please stop what you're doing and take care of yourself. Go take a walk in the park. I beg you.
I know.
Those types of things. It's just super critical. So until next week, we just want you to absolutely dare to be yourself. Learn more about yourself. Love yourself. You are a gift to the world, and the world needs you. So thank you for listening.
Yes. We need your gifts in the world, your service. So we'll see you next week. Bye.